Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Yeah. All right, Megan, another day, another dollar.
If you say so.
So what are we talking today?
We have Vanderpump Rules, second episode. Real Housewives of Atlanta, because of that huge fight.
I mean, holy shit.
And then Below Deck with Alexis Bellino.
Plus, you spoke with perhaps your favorite Bravo celebrity.
Yes.
So we have an interview with Jax Taylor coming up.
Yes, it's really good.
And of course, we'll end with Rose and Thorne. All right, well, let's start with Atlanta because I have to talk about it.
Okay. We start with Dennis.
We start with Dennis. And so here's the thing. We've gone back and forth on how we feel about Dennis for a long time. Last season, it was like, oh, I don't know. Of course, this season with everything that's been happening with the cheating and all of that, I will say that beginning of this episode, I see you, Dennis. Like, he did what he needed to do to win Portia back. He came in, he surprised her. He was like, let me prove to you that I'm not out at home doing something I shouldn't be doing. I'm taking the time to be here with you. He's showing her that he's serious about bringing their family back together. And I think that's a very good quality, and perhaps, you know, we are seeing a new Dennis.
I really appreciated, I think, the bus ride back to the hotel, though, because it's sort of like, I think, what the rest of us are thinking, which is like, yeah, but what happened? Like, right. I know you guys are back together and that's so amazing, but why did you have this terrible breakup?
Right. And I think I actually forgot that we know as the audience that it was cheating, but nobody else knows that.
And do we know? I mean, don't you feel like you don't really know? Like,
right. We don't really have a name, details, how many times. We don't have a lot of that information. Portia's been holding that very close to the chest, but we do know that it was, like, cheating while she was pregnant.
Yeah, it is shitty, though, I thought, that, like, right after her amazing moment, they're like, yeah, but, like, what did he do to break your heart?
Right. And also, I couldn't tell if Kenya was really drunk or if she was doing an impersonation of Tanya. Is that what was happening with Kenya on the bus?
Hello, everybody. This, like, party, like, it was really great. Everybody and I want to say, like, I really believe, like, it was really great. And, like, the love that's in the air. I mean, like, go love.
I don't know.
Like, it seemed like she was really kind of, like, being super smiley.
Yeah.
So I was like, is she doing an impersonation of Tanya and trying to be shady? Because I think I just assumed that Kenya is always trying to be shady.
Yeah.
Or maybe I was like, maybe she just had a lot to drink and she's feeling kind of silly. It could be a little bit of both. You never know.
And I couldn't believe Yovana having the balls to be like, so nothing with the dog, right?
Oh, my God.
So that thing about the animals is not true, Portia, right?
Like, Yovana's always like two steps behind everybody else, you know?
Right.
Like, she's really not quite enough in the group to really know what's going on. And that is very evident by the end of this episode. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I sort of was down with Yovana for a while, and now not so much.
She crossed a line for you.
I also thought it was interesting, this whole idea of a recording versus audio.
I did not understand that at all.
Okay, so I understood it to be something like, a recording is me with my phone right now hitting record and like recording what you're saying,
okay.
Right? Audio is like, maybe I'm taking a video of Sarah while she's over here, you know, producing for us, and you say something that gets picked up on that video, and then there's audio of you saying something. So it sounds a little bit like maybe there was something happening, being filmed, whatever, and it happened to pick that up.
But do you think there is audio?
Now I'm not so sure.
It seemed like Nini said this thing, and now Yovana's like, I don't know what you're talking, like, and I believe Yovana. I think she's legitimately like, what are you talking about, right?
Right, well, it goes back to that moment where she said she had receipts. So what does that mean? Like, she has receipts. How, though? And is it some kind of, like, audio that she didn't realize she had and then she watched a video and, like, heard it? Like, I don't know. But it seems like Nini really could have been the one to fix the situation and chose not to.
Well, second question, why did she keep bringing Cynthia back to the room only not to tell her who the snake is?
I don't know. I really don't know. And it seems like this isn't the way back into the group for Nene. So I think she really needs to think about whatever she knows she needs to share with Cynthia more than anybody else in that room. Cynthia is the one who deserves to know what is out there of her so that, number one, the snake can be revealed, and number two, Nene and Cynthia can start to heal their relationship, because it seems like that's what Nene wants, but it just to save face?
But then an interview with producer is like, I don't owe it to her to tell her.
Right. So it's sort of like, where do you stand, Nene? It doesn't seem to be consistent for her. Do you know what I thought was really interesting regarding the snake situation? So in the hotel room, I don't know if you noticed, but it seems as though Marlo likes to decorate her hotel rooms according to, like, her own home. There was, like, her name was spelled out behind them. Did you notice that? I did not even notice that.
So
Danny actually pointed it out while we were watching and was like, there's a snake plant behind Yovana. And I was like, if that was a production choice, like, A+ to production for doing that, to be like, look it, she's the snake. But also you could see Marlo's name spelled out behind her. So I don't know. Maybe that's why Marlo is always losing her suitcases, because she's bringing all these extra things
props.
So that she can. She's bringing props so she can decorate her hotel rooms. But I did notice a snake plant behind her, or Danny did, and I was like, that's really interesting. Marlo spelled out her name, had some decorations, whatever. But yeah, I mean, it's like there could have been a much quieter conversation in that room, but between Marlo and Cynthia and then everything that erupted, it was sort of like there was no turning back at a certain point, and that was it.
Marlo, I thought, was being kind of an asshole.
Yeah, it was just like there was no need at that moment. But, you know, Marlo was quick to apologize the next day. And I will say, I think we've seen some growth from Marlo in the last season. I think with her being able to apologize immediately the next day, like, I shouldn't have done that. I love that about Marlo, is she can be so shady and so hard and so just, like, ruthless. But then she's very quick to be like, I was in the wrong. You're beautiful. I love you. We're good.
It wasn't right away, though. They went to the whole
hours.
Parade, and then it was dinner the next night. It was, 24 hours
whatever.
Later.
Whatever. Okay, so not right away. In Housewives time,
yes.
24 hours
okay.
is pretty
okay.
right away, right?
Okay. Tanya's fiancé.
Oh, my God.
That all seems fishy, no?
I think it was Kenya being a little messy, and I think that's what Candy also said on Watch What Happens Live. She was on just after this episode aired. I don't know. Like, Paul seems like a legit dude.
No, when I say fishy, I mean he seems fishy.
You think Paul seems fishy?
I think the relationship does. How are you engaged this long without getting married? Why be engaged then? I just don't understand.
Right. I mean, it's so interesting about, you know, watching everyone be a little bit more critical of, like, Tanya's man. Like, where is Kenya? Who is Kenya to come into any situation like this and talk about somebody else's man?
I guess.
With the way Mark is, and just sort of like, Portia's not one to speak because of what happened with Dennis. Like, I don't know if anyone is in a place to speak about Tanya's man. But also, if Kenya has information, she's polling everyone of, like, would you want to know? And then if she knows something, she doesn't share it with Tanya. She's like, well, it's not my place either. Then why bring it up?
The next on Kenya says, yeah, the cookie, like, he was hitting on the cookie lady and she's badder than Tanya or something like that.
The cookie lady looks a little badder than Tanya. I will be honest. When they showed that footage of her talking to, what was it, Cynthia and Kenya, she kind of like looked at the camera at one point and I was like, oh, this bitch knows that she is about to blow some shit up right now.
How are you?
Good, how are you, ladies?
Great.
So you know your boy, Paul?
Yes. Tanya's what?
Nothing, but he kind of like was all over me, just like buying me drinks, telling me not to leave somewhere.
Here's who Tanya reminds me of. The sister in Fresh Prince, the older one.
Okay. I can 100% see that. That's quite accurate, I think. What does Tanya have, though, that Kenya left behind?
Yes,
What's
I know.
What's in that bag?
Is it the wig? Because Marlo thought Kenya was wearing a wig.
Oh, maybe.
That's what went through my mind, but it could be something totally different.
Maybe. I mean, I hope it's a little bit more intense than that.
But What would it be?
I don't know.
No, something's going through your head.
I'm also afraid that it's going to be like two more episodes until we get that because they teased the fight like two episodes ago. They were like next week. And I was like, it didn't come as quickly as I wanted it to. But whatever. But yeah, I am very curious. I don't know. It could be anything. Vanderpump Rules. Okay, the boudoir shoot that Britney does in the beginning. How have you not done this for Aaron yet?
First of all, you're assuming I haven't.
That's true.
No, but I haven't.
I feel like I would have seen the pictures by now. I would have loved it. It'd be all over Instagram at this point. But I actually, one of my close friends, Caitlin, did this a couple years ago for her husband, and they came out so beautiful.
Really?
Like, they're so cool. I really think it's something you should consider.
I just send, you know.
Every day is a boudoir shoot for you. But really, I think it would be fun to have for yourself and fun to have for him. You could frame them in your house, you know, like get a little Paris Hilton in there.
Yeah.
Right? Your parents would love that when they came to visit.
It's my house. Wait, would you ever do one for Danny?
100%. I would totally do one. Yeah.
We never see men do them, but like obviously they should.
Oh, for sure. I would definitely do one. And it would be like tasteful, but also like funny.
Right,
you know,
like you would sneak a peek at a ball.
Right. Maybe. Yeah, no, I would definitely do something like that. I need to like, you know, hit the gym a little bit first before I do that. But for sure.
Okay.
I don't like Brett anymore.
Why?
I don't like the way he was talking about Sheena.
Right.
I think I'm becoming very much like a Sheena stan.
You didn't like that he said she's a bad kisser?
Well, he said she was a bad kisser. He was also talking about just how she was coming on like so hot and whatever. And just like this narrative that like these boys get about women is just like very toxic, you know? Like I just didn't like the way he was speaking about her, and it just didn't make him look like a really nice, cool guy.
Going back to the kissing really quick.
Yeah.
I'm sure other people have pointed this out, but it didn't click to me until a couple days later that, like, he said she's a bad kisser, mm-hmm. and then she said there was no way last season Rob could have cheated because he doesn't even like to kiss that much.
Oh, interesting.
Get the impression she's not a good kisser.
Why is that another piece of evidence that we have?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
but I still think no matter what, it's not cool to say.
Right. Well, and also for Jax to like perpetuate that rumor without actually knowing, he was like, yeah, that's what I've heard too. Also, like drunken makeouts are sloppy. Like, who knows? I mean, and one person's bad kisser is another person's good kisser. I think we said that last week. Like, who's to say? All we know is that Sheena still gets a lot of kissing done. For being a bad kisser.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What did you think about Katie apologizing to Kristen?
I was surprised.
Me too.
Because Katie's usually a little bit stubborn.
Stands her ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she's making an effort. She's trying with this friendship.
I think everyone at this moment needs to be a little gentle with Kristen, even if they're frustrated with her. When Jax was there and she was like packing up her house and he was like going off about, well, when Carter comes, I'm going to tell him he can't come to the thing.
I'm going to tell him that he can't come. Is that okay?
Good luck.
When he gets here, I'm going to have a chat with him. Man to man.
Like, it just seemed like Kristen was not in the mood to have that conversation at that moment. And it's just sort of like, read the room, you know, and just like, I think Katie was starting to do that, was starting to really feel out how Kristen was feeling and was like, you know what? I do care about her. I am a friend. Let me just be kind.
Yeah.
That's going to get me further with her than the opposite.
Also, for as much shit as people talk about Carter and amongst this group, mm-hmm. he doesn't show any signs of being a bad guy to me.
That's very true. All of the stuff that we know about Carter or have heard about Carter is kind of hearsay and is kind of what, you know, other people are saying. There's like Kristen hasn't really come right out and been like, he takes all my money, I buy everything for him, he's mooching off of me. Like, if she was forward with that information, I'd be like, girl, yes, ditch him. But we've kind of been hearing it from everyone else, so maybe that's more so their interpretation of their relationship.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And more so just what we see is him being cool about Jack saying you can't come to the bachelor party and him being like very go with the flow in terms of what Kristen's mood is that day.
Yeah. And he was even at her new house. And of course, he was like going and making these decisions without her. And she was like, do that without me there. But at least he was sort of putting in some effort and trying. But again, if he's planning like for this new house to be his new house too, it's sort of like, well, buddy. Yeah. But apparently he's not moving in. That's what she said. I don't know.
I don't believe her.
I wanted to point out too the timeliness of Jax's Meghan Markle reference.
Yes.
Would she think we are Meghan Markle and whatever his name is? What is his name?
Which he could not remember Prince Harry's name.
I know.
Who is actually probably the more famous one.
Yeah.
But okay. It's very Jax of him.
It's so. Wait, remember? Because forget what season it was, but he's talking about George Clooney. And he was like, who is he dating? A human rights lawyer? Right. And it was like at that time, like everyone knew her name.
Of course.
You know.
Yeah, everyone still knows her name.
Yes.
Amal. Amal. It's beautiful.
Oh, Ariana versus Lisa Vanderpump.
Ooh, yeah, I know. I think it went well.
I do too, but that is so Lisa Vanderpump. Like that is so her line, which is... I don't even know why you'd want to be friends with me if you have all these bad things to say.
Right.
Except now it's like, I don't know why you'd want to work for me. It's like, because she needs the money.
Right. She's like, I'm sitting around not making money right now. Can I have some money? And she's like, no. I also wanted to say that Ariana was very relatable in this episode. In the beginning, saying that she cried over a Justin Bieber song she's never heard before. It's very me, I think.
Uh-huh.
And then opening up to Lisa after sort of that, you know, rocky part of their conversation about her depression.
I had these like big, huge life goals that I've achieved, you know, like the house, the book. And I thought that was going to fix me.
I think I need to be medicated.
Are you depressed? Is that how you're feeling?
I have been for a very long time,
but it didn't change who I am. And this... undercurrent, this depression, I'm realizing probably always going to be a part of me and a part of my life.
Like it kind of reminded me of what we heard from Stephanie on Dallas this past season about how you can have all of these things and you can have this beautiful life, but it doesn't necessarily translate to happiness. And she sort of said like those first couple of days of buying her house, which is a huge accomplishment. She was just sort of like, I don't feel the way I feel like I'm supposed to about this.
It's very sad to me because, like, we always hear that money can't buy you happiness. And I'm like, that can't possibly be true. I just know if I had more money, I'd be happier.
Right.
I keep seeing evidence to the contrary.
I know. It's interesting because not even just, like, money will make you happy, but sort of money can help get you a different quality of life, perhaps, than you're used to. But I feel like it just kind of goes back to that you have to fix what's inside before you can fix outside.
How, Eric?
I don't know.
How do I fix it?
I don't know. I liked what Lisa said to Ariana, though. Don't doubt yourself. Let others do that for you. I thought that was really, really powerful. I mean, I think that's a great thing that everyone should sort of take with them in life. What did you think of Dana's stand-up?
It's okay. I have to put this out there. It's really hard for me to watch stand-up.
Yeah.
I get very uncomfortable that people aren't going to be very funny.
Especially if you know them.
Yes. But even if I don't, like, improv, like, it's very hard for me to watch. It was okay. I think she has, like, I definitely see it in her. Like, she's very pretty, but also, like, has a personality of someone who doesn't think she's pretty, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. I like that. I mean, I definitely think we are seeing sort of the very beginnings of what she will probably be capable of in the stand-up space. But to be able to get up there and, like, not crack under the pressure. I mean, stand-up is such a difficult thing to do, especially in front of people that you know. And just, like, putting yourself out there like that, you're so vulnerable. Being on a stage like that and then being expected to, like, be funny.
Yeah.
That's hard when you're expected to be funny, when people are literally there waiting to laugh, you know? But I thought she did a pretty good job, like, getting into, like, the dark, like, mom stuff.
Yeah, that stuff I appreciate.
I figured you would appreciate that one. And so that's good. I mean, because it also, like, is you at your most vulnerable. So if you can kind of turn that around. So I hope we get to see a little bit more this season. I think that would be kind of fun. We are seeing a little bit of tension between Sheena and Dana.
Yes.
Sort of a lot of the, like, power plays at Sir, where Sheena's like, can you go dust those shelves?
Yeah, she's
can
channeling you go season this? One Stassi, for
right.
sure.
Right, 100%. I mean, I think it's just, like, funny, because that is so typical behavior when there's, like, you know, perhaps a romantic person involved between you two, so... Whatever, I love Sheena.
Yeah.
But I like Dana. I mean, she's definitely, after this episode, I feel like I've gotten to know her a little bit more.
Right.
And we got the first intro of Danica.
Yes.
She seems interesting.
Dana and Danica.
Dana and Danica. I know, very tricky.
All right, so I got a chance to talk to Jax Taylor from Vanderpump Rules, my very favorite person. We talked about our favorite guilty pleasure TV shows, because he's always watching something good. If he regrets anyone that he asked to be in his wedding party, and what it's like transitioning friendships from your 20s and 30s to your upcoming 40s. Plus, Jack shares his opinion on Ariana and Tom Sandoval's relationship. That was good. Here's that interview. Okay. Jax, I had just asked you, you know, to talk about your favorite TV shows that you're watching, just because I feel like you're always into, like, what's happening with pop culture, and like you always have some new obsession.
Well, if I'm not watching hockey, which is pretty much my passion, Brittany and I are watching anything that has to do with serial killers.
Nice.
So Oxygen, obviously. We watch a lot of that. I'm a huge, well, I have a huge 90 Day Fiance fan. Huge. I've actually had wars with some of them cast members. I can't, Brittany's gonna kill me right now. I know there's some shows that we're watching.
So did you watch the Netflix documentary, Abducted in Plain Sight?
Yes, didn't like it.
Didn't like it?
No, couldn't get into it.
Even when you found out the dad was like, had an affair with the guy that abducted?
I'm very, very like, it took too long to get in there, to get into it.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get into it. I could probably give it another whirl. I also didn't like Breaking Bad, so.
What about you?
Brittany's obsessed. That's her new favorite show. Good. Randall's ex-wife's in that. That's why we like to watch that, too.
Wait, who does she play?
I don't know. Okay. But I just know that she's in that. They always talk about it. So, yeah.
So, Brittany's not here. She's sick today.
Brittany's sick. She's having another one of her episodes. We just don't know what's wrong with her right now. We've gone to the doctors. It's on film. I think you'll see it this season, too. We just can't figure out what's wrong with her stomach.
Poor Brittany.
I know. I'm so sad. She was in tears. She wanted to be here so bad. She just loves doing this kind of stuff. And you know Brittany, she's such a people person and such a sweetheart that it kills her not to be here.
She is literally the nicest person I've ever met.
How she puts up with me is beyond.
Well, I wanted to ask you, actually, because, you know, when you guys met, you were already sort of established on this show. And
right.
had sort of gone through what it's like to get famous on TV.
Right.
How do you feel she changed, if at all, from, like, when you met her in Vegas that one night to like who she is now?
You know, she prides herself on being from her, you know, Kentucky and her southern, you know, roots and all that. She hasn't changed much. She has her moments. She has her diva moments, especially when she hangs out with Stassi. She has her moments where I'm kind of like, whoa, have you been hanging out with Stassi today? Because she'll have her like her little like her episodes, but she'll check herself and she'll apologize. If she gets in that and she'll like be that way, she'll be like bitchy sometimes.
Yeah.
She'll check herself and be like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to act like that, which I love about her.
Right.
I just had this conversation earlier. Like, Brittany and I are best friends. And I think that's so important. And I think the fact that she did not know who I was at all, she's been to Sir before we even were dating with her ex-boyfriend. She did not know anything about reality. She never watched reality TV.
Yeah.
Her mother knew who I was, but she did not. And, has it changed her? No, it's changed. She's changed me. It's made me such a better person. I personally think she's responsible for me being just in a good place, because there was some times there where after my father died and then after the situation with Brittany and I kind of was in a dark hole. I don't think I, if it wasn't for her, I would be somewhere in a gutter somewhere. I really think, you know, I was going down a deep path after that. My dad died and I didn't know where to go and what to do. And she bailed me out of that.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you think she helped, aside from just being like a light in your life?
I think she's the first person that just like, I've lived in Hollywood and I've lived in this, you know, I was modeling in New York when I was in my 20s and I moved to Miami, then I moved to California and I lived in this world that's just so superficial and everybody is your friend that you think, but when it gets real, when you're in trouble, you really see who your friends are. You really see who loves you and who doesn't love you. Brittany could have bailed. I mean, look what I did to her. I cheated. And then my dad died. She didn't have to stick around. She could have said, beat it. I don't need this. But she didn't. She knew we were in love with each other. What I did, and I'm not justifying what I did. This will be the last about this. But what I did was an insecurity with me. It had nothing to do with the person. I always see this. It could have been a hole in the wall. And I would have probably tried to sleep with it. It was not about the person. It was about me just not feeling good about myself. And I just didn't feel wanted or accepted. I felt like I was just going through a rough time. And then when my dad died, it was just, I just didn't care. And I told Brittany, and I'll be very honest, I'm like, listen, I'm going to close this door and I'm going to do bad things to myself. And then she's like, listen, I understand that. I get it. Can you try this? Can we try this avenue? Can we try this? And I'm like, okay. But I was really close to doing some awful things to myself. Just because I was done. I was at the bottom of the barrel. I felt like after what I did to Brittany, I just feel like I had nobody, you know. And I'm not trying to say, oh, poor you, what you did was wrong. Yeah, I had a lot of demons, lots of demons. And I think, you know, having her there to bail me out of this and help me get out of this, knowing that she really did love me, she wasn't here for just the ride, that, you know, I'm any other girl would have bailed. Why would you stick around? Somebody cheated on you? Someone treats you like shit? I wouldn't stick around. So the fact that she did that and she saw something in us and saw that we do love each other, that I was just going through a rough time, it meant a lot to me because I didn't have any of that.
Do you feel like you've had the opportunity yet in your relationship to give the same to her?
I do now. And I was worried about that. I'm like, you know, I can give her the stability. I can take care of her financially. I can do all that. But you need more, especially as a woman. I feel like at her age, what she wants, she moved to California for me. She left her friends. And, you know, I have to remember she's 10 years younger than I am. You know, she's hormonal and this. And I feel like I understand. I think I always understood I was a good person. My parents brought me up the right way. I think I just, along the way, I got blinded by the light, like the song says. I've just been so jaded. I've done so many awful things to so many people. I just didn't give a fuck about anybody. I didn't care. I didn't care what bridges I burned. I didn't care. I was like, oh, well, I'm Jax. I don't care.
Yeah.
And this is even before the show. I don't care. Whatever. I took everything for granted. And I think Brittany kind of brought me back to the man that my mother and father raised. And I needed that.
Oh, I love hearing that. And I'm so happy that we get to see, you know, the culmination of so many things in your relationship lead up to your wedding this season.
Yeah, a wedding.
What are you most excited about reliving?
Man, probably her walking down the aisle. I couldn't even hold it together. And I'm a guy. I'm not that emotional. I think I have actually probably been a lot more emotional since my father passed away. Guys in our family just don't show emotion. We don't. It's just a sign of weakness. You know, in my family, I don't think that anymore. I think you need to cry. I think you need to be emotional.
Yeah.
I just grew up in a different time where that wasn't accepted. But her walking down the aisle, just grinning, smiling. And if you know Brittany, she doesn't stop smiling. And just walking with her dad, walking down the aisle, was just in that dress and how hot she looked. Yeah, she looked gorgeous.
I mean
she is gorgeous.
But yeah.
Yeah.
You both looked amazing.
Oh, thank you very much. It was a lot of fun. It was a fun wedding. It went by really quickly and it was really expensive.
But so, you know, you'll live with those memories.
It went by really, really quick. Brittany, I like to say I had even a small part in that wedding. I basically just had to show up. We had a deal. I took care of the house. Well, I didn't bought. We both bought. But I took care of the house situation. She took care of the wedding. So that wasn't supposed to happen. We found our house on accident. She was on Zillow just going around. She found the house. I'm like, Brittany, we're getting married in 3 weeks. We're not buying a house right now. We're going to buy a house after we get married. She's like, but this is my dream house. It just went on the market and there was already a bidding war on it. And it was my house right now. It's my dream house. It's not a house you buy your first house. It's a house you buy down the line. So it was one of those houses where it's just like, we can spend the rest of our lives here. We can raise our kids here. It's a fun house where it is. And if you see on the show, everybody's at our house every weekend. We have pool parties and barbecues. Our house is kind of like the hub where everybody comes to, you know, hang out. Yeah. And I love that. I love that. And that's what I wanted. I want the place where it was like my house when I was growing up, where all the neighborhood kids, we're all going to their house. They got the pool. They got the fireplace. They got the toys. I want that. That's how I grew up.
It's interesting that's how it came about because Tom and Ariana claimed that you guys all followed them.
Yeah, apparently you're not allowed to buy a house. This is the one thing that he wanted on his own. So I'm not allowed to buy a house. I wasn't even trying to buy a house. Brittany had to talk me into it. We were going to do it after we got married. So I got married. I want to start a family. The next thing is to buy a home. You're going to make fun of me for that when you're not even in a relationship. I don't even know what your relationship is considered anymore. But I don't know personally anybody who I never really understood their relationship. But then to buy a home together, It doesn't make sense to me, but it's not my relationship.
Why do you not understand their relationship? I mean, aside
I don't really need to understand. It's not my business. It's not. I don't have to understand it. But if you're asking me in my opinion. Yeah,
I am.
Yeah. I just know people will say, well, it's not your business. You're right. It's not. But I'm on a reality show and people are going to ask. So I'm going to give it to you.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you were dating somebody, you were not planning on getting married. You're not planning on having kids. I don't know if it's going to go anywhere. Would you buy a house with somebody? Maybe I grew up differently. I'm in the Midwest. I don't know. I don't know. You get married, you buy a house, you have kids. That's how I grew up.
I always took it as they consider themselves married, but they just don't believe in the institution.
I considered myself a good person for a long time. I mean, okay, again, this is not my money. It's not my business. Teach your own, whatever. But I personally think that Tom Sandoval wants to get married. I think he wants to have kids. I think, you know, there's two things in life we can't cheat, right? And taxes and time, right? Or they say checks and death, but I also think time. We're not getting any younger. You know, you're getting up there. And if you want kids, now's the time to do it.
Yeah.
And if you don't, that's fine. But make sure you really don't. Don't just stay in a relationship just to stay in a relationship because you got the house and you got the dog. And, well, it's easier. It doesn't work that way. You'll look back and you'll regret and regret and regret.
Well, I do feel there's a pattern that we see on this show of people staying in relationships past their expiration point. Do you think that's what they're doing?
Yes. I think they're glorified roommates. You want to ask me exactly what they are? Glorified roommates. And now I know when you have Ariana and Tom on here, they're going to fight me on this. They're going to talk so much crap about me. But I just really think, I think they're both good people. I think they want different things. Tom wants to be out every night. Ariana wants to be in her bedroom every night watching movies. And, you know, and I don't understand the relationship, I guess, but it's really not for me to understand. But I just don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. Nothing adds up. And I hear this constant stories and the people who go and visit. And it's just, and they're both good people. I just don't think they're compatible. But, you know, they claim that they are. And I hope they are. But if you're asking me, and I'm usually not wrong. I just don't think it's going to last forever. But that's me. That's terrible to say, but I'm sorry.
Well, we've started this season with some, you know, like just a tiny bit of drama with you and Sandoval. Are you at all?
If you call me a diva, first of all, I'm getting married. Okay, I have the right to say, listen, are you going to plan my bachelor party or not? People are like, well, you're a bride or groomzilla. How is me saying, hey, you've been my friend for 15 years. Are you going to plan my bachelor party? How the hell is that being a groomzilla?
Yeah.
Let's just say, hey, man, if you can't do it, tell me so I can put somebody else in charge.
Yeah.
That's all. That's all I was saying. I don't think that's a fair question. I had two bachelor parties. Yes, maybe that'd be a much, but my bachelor party was in Miami. A lot of my friends have 9-to-5 jobs. They can't fly to Miami on a weekday and do that. So I had an LA bachelor party, which was my off-camera, extremely, extremely fun one.
Let's talk about that one.
And then we had one that was on camera. You know, I have friends that are actors that don't want to be in that, and I would never put them in that position, so I'd have two. And, you know, Tom, you've been my friends for so many years, and this is your forte. You love bachelor parties and performing and putting on a show. This is what you do. So I just thought it was naturally, man, you're going to plan this, right? Well, I'm not going to be in town. It's Mother's Day. Well, Mother's Day's on Sunday. Today's Monday. Well, you're leaving Friday, right, for St. Louis? Well, the bachelor party's Thursday. It just, there was a lot of like, I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Just say you don't want to do it. That's fine. But don't leave me hanging here when I got a bunch of people telling me, you know, and a lot of my friends didn't want them there. It was a mess. It was a mess for a while.
So looking back, any regrets about who was in your wedding party?
Yes, but I'm not going to tell you.
Why?
I think I folded to be a good guy. I have regrets. Yeah.
About Sandoval.
I don't want to give away things. I just think certain people should have been in attendance and not standing next to me. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
I don't watch the show that much, but I accidentally saw a little preview for next week, and he told me I demoted him, and he said, fuck off. It's my wedding, man. I'm paying for this. You're not. I'm sorry if you don't like it. It's the way it is. You chose to be an asshole to me. You chose to write me off, and that's fine. That's who you are. That's great. But if I don't want to have you next to me, I don't need to explain it to anybody either. It's my wedding, my day, not yours.
Well, I know at BravoCon I interviewed Stassi, and she mentioned that they never have people over at their homes. Do you think something has just changed with the dynamic? Well,
they don't have
him?
Furniture, first of all. You gotta have furniture. They rent furniture weekly when they have people over. Oh, yeah, rent. You'll see it. It's hilarious. They'll have like you have a 5,500 square foot home, beautiful home. Their home is gorgeous, bigger than ours. Two people, which is another weird thing to me. Why do you need a 6-bedroom house with two people? That's weird to me, again. They don't have any furniture at that time. So nobody went over there. I just think my house is the best. I have a great backyard. I got a cool pool. I got a barbecue. And again, I'm old school. I want to do the yard games, the barbecue, that kind of stuff. I'm not interested in a lot of what they do.
Yeah. It's interesting to see this transition of you guys from, you know, living in like apartments to these homes. What's the weirdest thing about transitioning your friendships from your 20s to your 30s?
I start to know who your friends really are. We don't live in the same apartment center, but I still see Tom Schwartz, Katie, Stassi, Bo, Lala, Randall. That's my core. Those people I just mentioned, I see those every day. The rest I don't see much anymore. I don't see much anymore. I see Tom. We're fine. We're cordial. So I'm at the premiere party. Hi, how you doing? How's everything going? We'll chat about, you know, industry things here and there, our managers and stuff like that. But it doesn't go any in depth anymore. It's sad. It's sad that part of our friendship is gone. But, you know, I want different things. He wants different things. My interests don't really spark his interest. You'll see the season two. I mean, Stassi goes off on Tom a few times. Tom has some meltdowns. It's pretty interesting, actually.
Okay, I just want to know if you think it's a fame, like a reality TV fame thing, or it's just a people growing and changing.
What do you mean?
Changing.
The change? I mean, I started the show when I was 30. I turned 40 this year. So I think in 10 years, if you don't change, there's a problem.
Yeah.
Right? I just hit a point in my life where I had enough. You know, don't get me wrong. I love that devil is still there. He creeps in all the time, the old Jacks. Like, I want to cause trouble all the time, but I'm just tired. I'm tired. You know, I love what I have. I love my wife. I love my house. I love the fact that we're going to start a family. I'm even just getting emotional thinking about it. I love all that. I love having barbecues. I love, you know, date night with my wife. This is a whole new thing for me. I never wanted to get married. I never wanted any of this, you know, and this all happened. I'm shocked of how much I love marriage. I never thought in a million years, I never wanted to get married. I never wanted to have pets. Now I have a home, three dogs, and I'm married. It baffles me to think that, but I still want to be the old me sometimes, but this is just who I am, I think, now. And I'm just trying to be the person that my father wants me to be. My father was a very conservative Catholic man, and I just want him to be proud.
That's so nice.
Just want to be proud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But speaking of old Jacks, where was your LA bachelor party?
The Roosevelt Hotel for 3 days.
Oh my God.
it was rough. Very rough. It was like, so it was coming and going, so people can just come and go. I stayed in the room for 3 days. People would just, it was bananas. I mean, you name it, it happened. I don't want to get in trouble, but if you can think about it, it happened.
I'm thinking so many things.
Pretty much anything going on in your head, it happened.
Cool.
Probably would have got a lot of trouble if it was filmed. Lots of trouble. Yeah.
So I feel like last season, James was sort of the jackass of the season.
Right.
Like everyone kind of had issues with him at the reunion. Who is going to be that person this season?
That's a good question, because it's not James. He's doing awesome. I'm very proud of that kid. I think he's flipped his switch. I think he figured it out. I think he had his fun. I think he's got his drinking under control. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know who woke him up or what. You know, I thought it was just going to be another one. Well, I'm going to not drink. He looks great. He's killing it in the DJ world. It looks like he's focused. He's working hard. I talked to him the other day. We talk now, follow each other back on social media, which is a big thing for me. Yeah. I'm the king of blocking. So I'm really happy for him. He looks good. He looks healthy again, where he just looks sick all the time because he was on whatever he was on. But I think he's focused on his career, you know, and I think, I don't know if Raquel has anything to do with it. She may have given him an ultimatum. I don't know. Do I see that relationship lasting forever? Absolutely not. I think it's good for now. I think they're happy now. But did you know what you want at 26, 27 years old? I mean, I think she's And I got nothing against Raquel, but I think she's along for the ride. I know she's along for the ride. Nobody puts up with half that crap. So I don't understand what she's getting out of it. That's what I want to know. If she could sit here and say, hey, listen, I love James. I'm sure she loves James, but this is a lot of hell to go through and not. What are you getting out of this? I just want to know. What do you truly see in James that's like, man, I need to be with this guy? I'm curious. And I want to, you know, like I said, this is not anything against James. I just, but then again, what did Brittany see in me, right? When I hit grounds here, I could look at it that way too. But that's who I am. I'm going to pick apart people's relationships. That's what I do.
Good. Because my next question was going to be, who do you think is a more toxic dater, Kristen or Sheena?
What do you mean toxic? Sheena's got a big heart, and she wants the relationship. You got to look at it from her point. See, myself, I got married. Tom and Katie are married. Stassi and Bo are engaged. She's getting up there in age. You know, she did the freezing of the eggs thing. It's got to be nerve-wracking. Yeah. I don't. As a woman, when you're getting older and you see all your friends getting married, and you're going on all these dates, she's dating you've got to stop dating the cast of The Bachelor. That needs to stop. Because nobody's taking that seriously. And when she does, Sheena's extremely entertaining. She's entertaining. And she's fun to watch. I texted her last night. I go, I hope you didn't get mad. I said some things because we love watching you. And I hope you're not mad at any of this. She's like, no. And I think she likes it that, okay, people like this. They like it. But I think deep down inside, she doesn't want any. I'm a really good judge of character. If she could be married tomorrow and they said, listen, you can be married. You'll have happily ever after, but you can't be on the show. Would you do it? I think she would say yeah.
Oh, interesting.
But I think that she's loving the fact that everybody else loves watching her. And she's like, well, look at Sheena. And she's like, okay, people like me right now. They're all loving all this. I don't really like it, but I'm going to do it because I'm feeling so. That's what I think. That's me personally. And it breaks my heart because Sheena puts it all on the line, like usually by date number two. You know, if she hasn't bought an Apple Watch or a penguin or a deer or a house or a bed or a car or whatever, you know, she's so funny. She's even on the show last night. She's like, I bought him an Apple Watch to show him that I loved him. I'm like, and then she's crying. She's like, I'm not crazy. People think I'm crazy. It's like, it's Sheena. I love her.
Yeah,
I do. I just want the best for her. I want her to be in a relationship that's going to last. I don't think it's right now. I love Brock. I think Brock's a great guy. Out of all the guys she's dated, he's probably got his head on his shoulders the most. But if you're asking me to, you know, you have to pick, you have to make a decision. I don't see it lasting forever. I hope it lasts a while, but not forever.
So then what's your read on Kristen?
Kristen needs to be single. The reason I had a hard time with Kristen this season and the reason why Katie and everybody had a hard time with the season is because she bullshitted us. So she played us all. And she'll tell you that she didn't, but she played the whole heartbroken. You know, Stassi said it best. I mean, Stassi at least put some makeup on to look herself presentable, right? You go
amazing.
To Kristen's house, it's like, oh, it's like her whole family was killed. Like, she wears it and she plays it to a T. You know, and then she gives you this whole, like, what should I do? And then the girls will sit there and give them their advice and sit there and console. I went to her house. I cut her grass. I do help her with her house and stuff like this. And you're like, she's trying to get on her feet. She's sad about the breakup. You buy into this story that she's telling. Just say, hey, listen, I'm going to be slutty for a while. Cool. Own it. Great. Move on. But people do not forgive liars. They do not, especially in the reality world. It's one thing if you fuck up, but own it.
Yeah.
If you lie about it, they don't forgive that.
What do you think?
Brandy Glanville gave me that advice season one.
Ooh.
She's like, listen, do you, but just own everything you do or the fans will let you have it. And she's right.
I love that advice.
Yeah.
Okay, well, now you've got me on a Beverly Hills tangent, which is people are obviously going, they miss the fact that Lisa Vanderpump's not going to be on Beverly Hills. Do you think the fact that Lisa Vanderpump stepped away from that show made her more active in Vanderpump Rules this season?
Yeah, I think she got bored.
Really?
Yeah. I think, you know, Lisa and I have a kind of a crazy relationship. Listen, she's our mother. She's our, you know, everyone bows down to her like it's like, you know, the president walking in. I don't put up with that. You're a restaurant owner. You got a beautiful house. You're no different than anybody else in my eyes. I love her to death and I look up to you, but I don't understand why everybody has to bow down on hands. And I tell her that. I'm like, I'm pretty honest. And so, you know, obviously the last 8 years I've gotten my fair share of critiques and people come at me all the time. And she will pull me aside and say, let's go to lunch. How do you handle this? Like, she would break down to me. I can't handle these women on Housewives. And I've never seen her be so vulnerable. And that was, I think, that's put our friendship a little bit up here. She's got her friendships with cast members, but I feel like she can turn off Lisa Vanderpump with me, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
She puts that aside because, first of all, I'm not going to buy into her song and dance. I'm just not. I go, Lisa, just be real. I mean, you know, you see me go through 8 years of everybody hating me, social media. It sucks. You know, you're a human being. You can play the whole dog song and dance. I own a restaurant. That's great for the world. But let's be real for a second. You know, like, you're vulnerable. These women are coming at you. You've ridden that pony on Housewives for a long time. It was bound to happen. It was bound to happen where they're going to come at her. And it did. I think she just had enough. I think she misses it? Yeah, of course. Oh, of course. She loves talking about it. I love Lisa because she'd be like, I always, Lisa, what are you doing? Well, I'm busy doing this and I'm starting another restaurant here. She loves to talk and she loves that, but now she can't talk about that anymore. And I think she misses that.
All right. Well, I feel like we've talked about so many things. Is there anyone that we as fans should be keeping our eye on this season?
Who would be fun to watch?
Well, that or
Max, the new guy, Max. I would say he's a kind of a cross between me and James.
Oh,
he's a single manager working at TomTom, sleeping with everything and anything, and I love watching him. He's funny. And he'll text me every day. I brought this girl home. He's literally us 2.0. And he's fun to watch. He's a nice guy. You know, it's one thing if you got a guy at a show who's cocky and this, I do this, but he's so like, he's just such a nice guy. And he's like, I don't know what happened last night. And I ended up with these three girls back in my, and he's just so like, you're just kind of like, oh, you know, it's like, it's like Schwartz. He has that Schwartz mentality.
Yeah.
But he'll be like, oh man, last night and I ended up with three strippers and I don't know what's going on. He's just one of those.
Right.
And he's hilarious. He's really, really funny. And Brett too. Brett's a really nice guy. He's another new cast member. That is really nice guy. Got a big heart. And those are the two guys. Usually when people come in, I don't like the rest of them. But the way they approached it, the way they knew they came in, you got to remember you're coming out on a show that's a successful show for 8 years. It's got to be super intimidating to walk into our cast. It's got to be. I don't think I could do it. We're rough.
Yeah.
You know, and you got to earn your stripes. You're not going to walk into a show that's been going on for this long and think, oh, this will be a cakewalk. I'll just sleep with a couple cast members and I'm in. It doesn't work that way. And I will let them know that's not going to happen. So I pride ourselves so much, and I say this every year, on our show being extremely real, vulnerable, and organic. Whether the camera's there or not, this shit's going down. It's happening. These conversations are happening. Oh, yes, the cameras are there. I forget half the time. But this has been my life before the show, and this will be my life way after the show. The shit will still be going on. We'll still be having conversations. That's what I like. So when you bring people in that are being like, okay, what can I do to stir things up? Don't stay here.
What a great note to end on. Thank you so much, Jax.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Below Deck?
Below Deck.
How surprised were you that Riley didn't get fired?
And I've come to the conclusion that we're going to make it work. And that's going to take some change on Ashton's part. It's going to take a lot of change on your part. The only way that you're going to change the way people treat you is going to be how you react to how they treat you.
I was a little bit surprised, but also at this point in the season, what are they going to do?
Right.
They can't fire another deckhand. Like, they're going to be screwed without her, especially with, like, more charges coming. I mean, Riley is such a tricky, tricky person. And I think she's actually pretty good at her job, but she's very difficult to work with.
Yeah.
And she caused a lot of problems. So, I don't know. I wasn't totally surprised just from kind of, like, a logistical standpoint, but I don't know if she would ever be welcome back.
Like, I'm not Team Riley and I'm not Team Ashton.
I know.
Like, I think both, like, have their issues. But I did feel bad for Ashton in the way that, like, I totally understood what he was saying, which is, you brought me back as a bosun.
Yeah.
And if I'm making a call as a bosun, how are you not respecting that, Captain Lee?
Right. I think it has to work both ways.
Yes.
You know? I know, it's very tricky. I mean, it seems like Riley is pretty affected by the whole thing. She seemed like she didn't want to get out of bed and stuff, like the whole rest of the episode or whatever. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of tricky, but I don't think she's going anywhere.
Alexis Bellino is in this episode.
Alexis Bellino sucking face with her new man.
Yeah.
For the entire episode.
And just, she's doing the thing that I hate when people do, which is they get out of a long-term relationship and they get into a new one and then act like this one is so different and better than the last one.
Right.
It's like, Yeah, bitch, it's called the honeymoon phase. Right. It's going to pass. Right, right. Like when she said, I've told every guy, like, I'm never getting married again. And now I'm like, when is this one going to marry me? I was like, vom.
I know.
I told every guy that I dated, I'm never getting married again. And I told him that too. I'm like, you can date me, but I'm never getting married again. I've done that. And then I met him and I'm like, when are we getting married?
I will say I do kind of appreciate the idea of celebrating a divorce, like just as equally as you might celebrate an engagement or like, all of that stuff. I like that she's sort of, you know, you can spin something somewhat negative, maybe positive, into something that's like a little bit bigger and more celebratory or whatever. But it's a little much.
And I would have to say, like, if roles were reversed and let's say I was dating a guy who was getting divorced and I go on his celebration cruise, I'd feel a little weird about it, being like, this could be me one day that they're talking about.
Yeah. I think Alexis was also taking advantage of the fact that there were cameras. So knowing that, you know, it was all being filmed, perhaps
she played it up.
Jim would be seeing that at some point on his television set. So yeah, she might have been leaning into that a little hard. Is she still with this current guy?
I don't know.
I will say this also goes to prove my theory way back when we were talking about Orange County and Emily had lunch with Alexis and she was like, I just got back from Thailand.
Yes.
Ah, psychic. Yeah, it was a little bit much, but whatever. Do you, Alexis Bellino?
Okay, what did you think about Kate going into Tanner's room trying to get him to...
Listen, Kate wanted to get some.
Tanner, Kate.
But from Tanner.
I know. And especially in his condition. But also Kate was kind of drunk. I feel like she just wasn't thinking about like
but
the consequences.
But even sober Tanner, I'm just not into him.
I know. But who else is she going to go after on the boat? She doesn't have any other choices at the moment. Tanner is definitely the one like that I would have to be in that state to want to go into his room. But even so, she didn't get anything out of it.
Right.
He was done.
Yet. But I think, I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
I just think there are crew members, like not just the boat crew, but there are film crew members.
That's true.
Go after one of them.
That's true. We haven't seen what they look like, though, so I'm not sure.
And does that tell you anything? That even so, I'm confidently like, nope, they would be a better option.
Right, right.
I just think he's kind of a dick.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's not my favorite.
Right.
I think Brian's a babe, but even he's like kind of being weird with Courtney right now.
That was weird, too.
The text?
Okay, yeah. First of all, the we're just having fun, right? That is a clear signal to any girl, which is, oh, you're just f***ing me. Yeah. Okay. So then for him to be like, oh, you misunderstood it. Well, then we should have had a face-to-face conversation, shouldn't we?
Right. What was there to misunderstand about that?
Yeah.
Well, Kate even says, she's like, I think Courtney is not good at the boatmance.
Like, it's her first one. She doesn't know the drill yet.
Yeah. I mean, we saw it last season on Below Deck Med with Jack and Aisha, you know, these like sweethearts, but it's like you're caught up in these romances because you're on these beautiful boats in these beautiful places. And it's just like, you know, I just don't see that.
Well, I'm introducing a new segment called Eric has to answer for men.
Great.
Why are men terrible, Eric?
I was actually just watching some Parks and Rec last night, just like to put something on. And it's when Ron breaks up with like Tammy for like the 500th time. And Leslie is like, Ron, let me just give you all the advice that I give all my girlfriends when they break up with someone. Men are dogs. Or something about like men are stupid or whatever, you know? And he's like, well, that doesn't really apply, Leslie, but thank you.
I just also don't think like it shouldn't just be about me. Like I think any female listeners out there who want men to answer for something should just tweet us and you have to answer for it.
Well, I mean, I can only do so much as a gay person. Like I don't really understand how the straight mind works, to be honest, but I do understand the whole idea of the boatmans, you know? It's like summer camp. It's like, those things most likely will not last. Enjoy them for what they are, but also, you know, they need to be a little bit more respectful maybe of women on this show.
Yeah. Girls have feelings as well as vaginas.
Right.
Shocking.
And lots of feelings in their vagina. What is wrong with Kevin's back? Like he is
Oh, I know. It was hurting me watching.
Someone needs to get him painkillers. Or muscle relaxers?
Yeah, just the noise he was making. Like, it just, oh.
He's made some noises this season. Early on, remember, he was sick.
No, don't even go there. I can't.
There's been a lot going on physically with Chef Kevin this season.
Yeah.
Poor guy. Yeah, no, I have some friends who have back problems too, and I remember my friend like walking the way he was like holding himself. It just seems very unpleasant and not very functional for someone who needs to be like on their feet all day.
Yeah.
Rose and Thorn?
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
What was your rose?
So it didn't happen in one of our shows. It happened in real life.
Oh.
And it was Jax Taylor. Okay, here's the thing. He's such a nice person. He's so lovely to interview. And when he walked in, he's like, oh, podcast. We're doing the podcast. Yes. And then I showed him the framed photo I have in the studio of him and me. And he was like, oh, we need to get this in the photo. And like pulled it to the forefront. I love him.
I know. I always tell people when they ask about Bravo celebrities, like who's the nicest, who's whatever. I always bring up Jax because I'm like, he is super polite. He talks to everyone when he's here. He's a little bit more soft spoken even like when he's in the office. And it's just like totally different than the way we see him on the show. But I mean, I just know that you two have a special connection.
I have another one though, but it's related.
Okay.
So I posted something about Jax and a Fox in the Wild on Instagram reached out and said, okay, so I gotta know. Mary kill Craig, Jax, Bo.
Oh my God, that's impossible for you.
Because they're all my favorites.
Yeah.
But I did think about it.
Can I guess what I think you would,
would
pick and then you can tell me if I'm right?
Okay.
I'm going to say kill Craig, fuck Jax, marry Bo.
You're right about one of them.
Oh, only one? Damn.
So what I've decided, and okay. I put a lot of thought into this, is that I would marry Bo because obviously I just think he would be a great like husband and father.
Yep.
I could not kill Craig. So I would.
I see that.
I couldn't.
Yeah.
I do want to know what sex with him would be like. And I've always said in the past that I would have sex with Jax, so I feel like I have kind of in my mind.
Right.
But I haven't yet experienced that with Craig.
Got it.
So okay. I'd fuck Craig, kill Jax, but be really sad about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Brittany would be pissed.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a really tough one.
What is your rose?
My rose goes to Real Housewives of New Jersey, and it is Jennifer and her, like, really pushing her mom to open up her mind and her heart to her brother regarding his sexuality and all of that.
But you know he'll be so much happier if you acknowledge him in public. Like, you're out and proud. Good for you. Good for you that you're not living a lie.
I know you could do it. You're a strong woman.
Let's see.
Okay.
Let's see.
Jennifer's been one of those housewives that just, like, one minute I hate her, the next minute I love her, and just after watching that conversation, she really, I think, hit it home and really kind of broke down her mom to a point where her mom was sort of like, I need to try to be better. You know, I think she kind of broke through, and I really appreciated seeing that. So, Jennifer, you get my rose this week.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And the drag brunch, I'll say, just because, you know, it was fun.
Yeah.
What was your thorn?
My thorn was watching Alexis say I love you to this boyfriend and him not say it back.
Yeah.
A few times.
That's like the worst thing to witness.
Like, dude, cameras are on you. Whether you mean it or not, just say it.
Right.
Ugh. Ugh. What was your thorn?
My thorn, I'm going to give it to Joe Giudice for the way he was talking to Teresa on the phone on Mother's Day.
My wife's brain is going mush.
Ugh.
Okay, because here's the thing. I understand, and I will never actually understand what Joe is going through and what he went through and being in the, you know, ICE facility and all of that. But, like, of all days to start with Teresa, not Mother's Day. Pick another day.
And of all the things to attack her on,
right.
It's going to be the money
yeah.
that she's bringing in.
Yeah. Next week, we'll have interviews with Jackie Goldschneider from Real Housewives of New Jersey and Kristen Doty from Vanderpump Rules.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me.